So it's being recorded, but I can't hear you.
Can you hear us now?
Yes.
So it didn't say that you were muted, but apparently you were muted. So we'll just have to see how this goes. I feel like I've been living the last 2 months of my life on Zoom. So this is just sort of the way it goes. But with all that in mind, I guess I didn't hear your answer. So this is, the video is going to be recorded as well as voice, or?
Yes, but we'll only put the voice recording on the website.
Okay. I don't
it's
know.
Just if public session.
I don't know if that helps anyone, but if it gets heated and you want to use rude gestures, the thing is those will not be recorded. So that's, so maybe feel free. With that in mind, then, because it's being recorded, the audio is being recorded, please speak loudly. We're going to try hard to speak one at a time. I'd suggest we'll just have to see how it goes. But my sense is that maybe the old-fashioned raising hands would be really useful, depending on how many comments we need to make. We'll see. Sometimes the program does a pretty good job of sort of focusing on those individuals who are speaking at any one time. If you're making or seconding a motion, please state your name. And if at all possible, when you're not speaking, go on mute and then try to remember to unmute yourself when you'd like to speak. We'll see how that goes. That's always a little bit of a challenge. So with that in mind, I guess, how do we want to start here, Andrew? We want to start with Dr. Lee for introductions and go through. Is that... Zhao?
Yeah, that works.
Is that how you, or do you want to start in the very top?
No, we can start with Dr. Lee.
I note that you set up the meeting and you're listed twice, so I'm not sure what that means really, but.
Because I'm signed into two laptops.
It's okay, it's not a vanity thing.
No, no.
So Dr. Lee, we'll start with you for introductions. We'll go through the gallery this way.
Hi, my name is Annette Lee, and I'm an investigator at the Feinstein Institutes for Medical Research, which is the research arm of Northwell Health. And my area of research is breast and ovarian cancers and biomarkers to detect the incidence of breast cancer and also metastatic disease.
Mr. Dickinson? Would you prefer not to introduce himself? Maybe we'll go to you, Jim.
Jim Spire, medical oncology, NYU, breast cancer.
Randa
Mayer, I'm a survivor and breast cancer survivor. I'm an attorney and I'm a part-time judge.
Beverly?
I'm Beverly Cannon. I am a patient advocate in the Mid-Hudson Valley. Been on the board for several years representing patients.
Jeanette, I guess.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Jeanette Diffo, and I am from Central New York, and I am a survivor as well.
Diana
Lake, medical oncology, breast medicine, Memorial Sloan Kettering.
Suzanne?
Hi, Suzanne Hicks. Two-time cancer survivor. I had melanoma in 2001 and breast cancer in 2003.
Thank you. Don?
It's Don DeStazio, a retired CEO of the American Cancer Eastern Division, a member of the New York State Cancer Prevention Council, and a survivor.
Thank you. And we'd like all the other folks to introduce themselves. Andrea, you want to start? You want I'm a breast cancer researcher at the State University of New York in Albany at the Cancer Research Center there. So that's what I do. And do you want to go through all the folks that are making it possible then, Andrea?
Sure. I'm Andrea Garavelli with the Department of Health, and I'm joined here with...
Oh, I'm Janine Tush. Hi, everyone. Mm-hmm.
And then Terry, do you want to go?
Sorry. Terry Asienzo. I also work with the Department of Health.
Farah
O'Brien with the Department of Health.
Brian
Rourke from the Department of Health.
Great. And Jonathan?
Hi, this is Jonathan Carmel. I'm an attorney with the Department of Health.
Okay. And Rich, would you like to introduce yourself? Okay. I'm not sure if Rich can hear us. We'll have to message him. Can you do that? Yes. In a few minutes. And Carlene Van Patten is also here, but she just stepped out of the room. So she'll be in and out today. And thank you all for coming and willing to participate in this unconventional way. So, all right, Doug, do you want to
get started? Sure, we can keep it moving. So it's unconventional, yet I think this is probably the first time in 15 years that we haven't had somebody stranded on a train or in traffic someplace. So in some ways, it's working better already, so that's good. So what are the trains like down right now? They're still running, and they were shut down the other night, but there's probably a lot more.
They're just shutting them for a couple hours at night, ostensibly for cleanup, but they are running. The city is quite empty.
Right. Haven't been there, but this is what I've heard. So I guess what we should start with is that we got a member of the public who had signed up. This is part of what these meetings are about, that it's a public forum. And so Nyla Charles had sent materials to the Department of Health asking that she actually be able to present, briefly speak here at this meeting. So she represents an organization, Kwakwaduwam, which represents the Ghanaian community in the Bronx. And she's interested in sort of Pat Brown mechanisms and the Pat Brown RFA. And she wanted simply to sort of speak to us briefly about her breast cancer organization. So is she here to speak?
She was here, but she's no longer here. I'm not sure if she lost connection, but I don't know. She's not signed in right now.
Doug, can I ask you to try not to speak behind your hands? Keep your hands down from me.
I'm so sorry.
You help me a lot. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm propping my head up because I might collapse. I'm very sorry, Beverly.
Thank you.
Okay, Doug. She just signed back in. I'm gonna let her into the room.
Okay.
Okay. Hi, Nyla. Can you hear us?
Hello?
Hi, Nyla.
Hi, sorry, I just got cut off for some reason, so I was connecting back.
We were just saying very nice things about you, and we turned it over to you, and you disappeared. So I briefly gave an introduction of you and your organization, and if you'd like to make sort of a brief statement or say a few words about your organization, that would be a good time to do that. Laura's
okay. Yours. Okay, good. Thank you. My name is Nyla Charles. I'm the charity director of Kwakwaduwam Associates, and we're a nonprofit organization, and we specialize in providing assistance and help to the communities, particularly in maternal health and also now in breast cancer.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And you're joining us from the Bronx at this point. Is that the idea?
Well, I don't, the organization, yes, it's based in the Bronx, but I live in Manhattan.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Thanks very much for your interest in the programs here. As you're probably aware, the Pat Brown RFA, which was round 7 of the RFA, that deadline has passed. And one of the things that we're here to do today is to talk about recent applications to that. And then what we do pretty much every time in these meetings is then discuss the future, the requests for applications that we need to issue so that we can see how the programs are doing and the response rates and those sorts of things. And so for your organization, if you're interested, based on what we talk about today, that would be reflected in the issuance of new RFAs, and you'd be able to, your organization would be able to follow along in the e-alerts system so that you know what RFAs are being issued by the Department of Health with respect to these sorts of risk reduction opportunities. Does that help in any way?
It does, definitely, yes.
It sounds like a good fit, but obviously everything is very carefully vetted, and so this is the way these programs run. So, So thank you for stopping by. So then, for the meeting in general, I think the sorts of things that we want to go through are the materials that you've received already, which typically we'll start with the minutes, and then we'll go to executive session, and we'll talk about the various applications that have been received. As has occurred in the past, it will be necessary to vote on block again. We'll discuss that. And then when we come back from executive session, we'll be able to vote on the actual proposals that are accepted. I think we'll hear more about this in depth, as well as the future RFAs as we move along. So it's just so you have like the big picture of what we're doing. But I think the first thing that we should get out of the way is considering the meeting minutes from the meeting that was just about a year ago, May 6, 2019. This in the binder or the materials, the PDF that you received is Exhibit 1, Tab 1. Hopefully you've had a chance to look at them. They seem accurate to me, but if anyone has additions or edits that they'd like to include, now would be the time to discuss it.
I move to approve.
Okay, and if you feel that you'd like to approve, then you can move to that. So Dr. Spire. And a second?
A second.
Dr. Lake. Any discussion? It looked accurate to you, what you remember?
Mm-hmm.
No additions? Okay, so then we should do a roll call vote. And we'll start with Dr. Lee.
Approve.
Dr. Spire?
Approve.
Ms. Mayer?
Approved.
Ms. Cannon?
Sorry, I got distracted because I'm trying to set up my earphones. I'm not hearing well. I'm not sure what we're voting on.
This is just the approval of the meetings from last year, the meeting minutes.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Dippo?
Approved.
Dr. Lake?
Approved.
Ms. Hicks? Mr. D'Estacio?
Yes.
Okay, so that, and I vote aye, approve as well. And so the minutes are approved, and I've lost count. What's that, 9-0?
Yeah.
Okay. And so we should now think about, consider the applications for funding for the RFAs that have been released previously and for which applications have been received and assessed for scientific merit. And so I think Andrea Garavelli was going to give us the sort of history of this current round of RFAs. The floor is yours, Andrea.
All right, thank you, Doug. The board approved the release of three recurring RFAs at the May 2019 meeting. The total available funding for all three RFAs is $2.97 million. If you look at Exhibit 2, which is Tab 3 in your binder, this is the order of review for the Peter T. Rowley Breast Cancer Scientific Research Project, Round 6. There was $2.16 million available to fund 5 to 7 applications. The RFA was issued on August 14th, and 33 applications were received by the due date. Applications were peer-reviewed in January 2019, and 4 applications were triaged. 29 applications were scored on a scale of 1 to 9. The research plan score is the tiebreaker, and impact score is the second tiebreaker. Please note that if the board recommends the top 6 scoring applications, funding of $2.16 million would be programmed. The board may vote in favor or against any application submitted for funding. If an application for which there are available funds is not recommended for funding, the board will fully justify in writing why the application was not approved. As in the past, you may choose to approve but not fund other meritorious applications. That way, if there are declinations, the approved but not funded applications could become recommended awards for funding. Are there any questions on the Rowley applications or RFA that was released?
I have a silly question. Just in the list of them, some of them are highlighted under application number in blue. Does that mean anything?
Yes, those applications, I believe,
had a penalty.
Had penalties.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Andrea, what's the typical nature of a penalty? I understand there's a scoring system and a variety of possibilities, but these are primarily administrative incongruities. Is that correct? Or it's not necessarily related? Yeah. Okay. Okay.
It's how the application is prepared and uploaded into the Grants Gateway. If the instructions are followed on formats that should be submitted, whether it's a PDF or a Word document or Excel, did they use our forms and not the, you know, another funding agency's forms? And they're made aware of the possible penalties in the application instructions.
Okay.
So the next RFA is Exhibit 3, Tab 12 in your binders. And this is for the Patricia S. Brown Breast Cancer Risk Reduction Education Research Projects, Round 7. $540,000 is available to fund 2 applications. The RFA was issued on September 3rd, and only 1 application was received. This application was peer-reviewed on December 16th and scored on a scale of 1 to 9. If the board recommends this application, $270,000 would be programmed for funding. You may vote in favor or against this application. If the application is not recommended for funding, the board will justify in writing why it was not approved. And the HRSB may also decide to program the available funds towards more Rowley awards. These contracts are scheduled to begin on January 1st, 2021 for a 2-year term for the Rowley awards and a 3-year term for the Patricia S. Brown Award. Are there any questions on the Patricia S. Brown RFA? Okay. There is no exhibit for the healthcare practitioner.
Sorry, I have a question. Sorry, just had to unmute myself.
Okay.
So if we decide that we want, of the $540,000, if we decide that we want to approve the one application, that will be $295,000. There'll be money left over. You're saying we can use that towards the Raleigh. So as we're reviewing the Raleigh, do we want to, since we only have one to begin with, do we want to select one or two Raleigh grants that we want to set aside for Pat Brown funds as we're reviewing them so that we have them already in the queue? I don't know who that question should go to. Maybe to Doug.
Yes.
I don't know.
So this sounds to me like the sort of thing we should discuss maybe in executive session.
Okay.
And so we should probably go through that in greater detail.
Okay, great.
It doesn't take long before we get into the sort of specifics about applications and their review. And I think the appropriate place to discuss that is in executive session. So
thank you.
So it's an excellent question, and let's consider it soon.
Okay.
Yeah, very good.
I do have a question about Patricia S. Brown. I think at the time I was looking at it, nobody had applied. So the reason why I'm here is actually to help present a case for reopening it. Now, given that there's only one person who applied for it, is it a possibility that that you're going to be reopening it to other organizations?
So this is the thing that we discuss pretty much every meeting, and we're doing the people's business here of the state of New York, and we're trying to ensure that the original legislation that was set up that funds these three mechanisms that are still being responsive to the needs of the public in general. And so, again, this is the sort of thing we need to discuss. And whereas we would welcome input, and we certainly welcome your input, we have to sort of discuss this sort of in greater depth about what is actually going to be issued as an RFA. So that's, I'm not confirming or denying anything, but I will say that historically, these RFAs have been issued pretty much, if not every year, every other year, probably going back over maybe 10 years on average. And so I would say that it's the likelihood certainly is there, but we can't promise anything until we talk about it. So does that help? That's like a 5-minute answer to a yes, no question. I understand, but we care about this. We think about this. It's not like it's fallen off our radar by any means.
Okay.
Thank you, Nyla. Back to you, Andrea.
Okay.
Okay, so we also released the Healthcare Practitioner Breast Cancer Education Research Projects Round 3 RFA in August. And we received no applications by the October 10th deadline. A non-applicant poll was sent out on October 11th. We received 13 responses as to why applications were not submitted. And the reasons were, one was unsure if the opportunity suited them. Two did not know why their organizations did not apply. Three lacked the resources to apply both the time and felt that the available funding was not worthwhile. Two may apply if the opportunity is offered again. And five said that it was not relevant to their area of expertise. So I think that covers the relevant topics that we can discuss in public session. And we can talk more about these procurements in executive session.
Thank you, Andrea. So if there are no general questions, then I think we should move to executive session to discuss this in greater detail. And so I'd make a motion to move into executive session. Will anyone second the motion? Dr. Spire. And so now we'll do the roll call vote, and we'll start with you, Dr. Lee, and feel free to just chime in. Don't ask to be called on necessarily, but.
Aye.
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 We got you, Jeanette, or you were seconding?
Aye, yeah.
Okay, and I vote in favor as well. So again, that's another 9-0 vote. It's motion passes. And so at this point, we'll move into executive session. All members of the public and non-essential staff, whatever that means, will be placed in, that means more and more of these every day with lockdown in place. So you'll be placed in a waiting room on Zoom. Do we know if there's Muzak in there? Is there some, is there just a pleasant place?
Yes, I believe there's some elevator music that gets played. So,
but unfortunately, no refreshments. So I'm sorry about that. But it gives you a chance maybe to run to the fridge, so that'll work. Anyway, we'll go to executive session, and then when we're done there, we'll reconvene in public session. Hopefully that should be 12 o'clock, but it may not take that long actually, but it will be a little while that we've got to go through all these. So it may be an hour or so. And then when we're done with that, then you can come back in and join after we leave executive and come back to public session. Okay. So.
Okay. I'm going to put everybody that needs to go in the waiting room in the waiting room. Again. Okay, it looks like we have everybody back now. Rich Dickinson, can you hear us okay? I know you were having some issues earlier.
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so I think we're ready to begin. Doug, okay. Do you want?
So welcome back from the break. And for those of you who were waiting for us to come back from executive session, we're glad to see the outside world again. So I hope you didn't think something bad had happened to all of us. The first thing we'll do is we'll go through and we'll vote on the proposals to be funded for this round, the various RFAs, and we'll start first with the Patricia S. Brown Breast Cancer Risk Reduction Education Research Projects. This is round 7 of this RFA. Andrea and I will lead you through the applications. These are in Exhibit 3, tab 12 of the materials sent around. Andrea?
Okay. The board will now vote on application number 3 from Dr. Scarfo and Dr. Garland at the Vision Urbana Inc. and ICANN School of Medicine at Mount Sinai.
Okay, so there are no recusals on this application. May I have a motion to recommend this application for award?
Okay. Recommendation to say no.
Okay, we have actually a motion to not fund and not approve this application for funding. Is this seconded by anyone? Dr. Spire, any comments, questions on this application? Discussion? Okay. I think much of what went into decisions may have been found in the, or are likely to be found in the reviewer's comments. So let's now have a roll call vote on the motion made by Mr. D'Estasio. We could start with at the top. Randa? So let me clarify one thing here. We've got maybe a double negative thing going on here. Let's just simply vote on whether to fund this or not. So
I think the motion on the floor is to not fund.
Okay. So
we either agree not to fund or disagree not to fund.
So I agree not to fund. Please specify. Yes, thank you.
Okay, I agree not to fund.
I agree not to fund.
I agree not to fund.
I agree.
I agree not to fund.
I agree not to fund.
And I agree not to fund. So that's the board is in agreement that the motion is approved. The motion is to not fund this application. And so this application has not received approval for funding. Okay. So now we'll go to a different RFA. This is the Peter T. Rowley Breast Cancer Risk Reduction Education Research Projects. We will vote en bloc for these approved applications. In this instance, the board will either vote to approve or disapprove the funding in rank order as ranked by the reviewers based on scientific merit of these applications from first through the lower levels. And so for the, as discussed in executive session, may I have a motion to recommend the top 8 applications to the commissioner using the peer review results in order best to worst scores up to the funding that's available in this program?
So moved.
The top
second.
8. Okay, so that's Ms. Dippo and Dr. Spire. Okay, so moved. So let's, any discussion, comments? The top 8? So let's have a roll call vote.
No, I need to announce the application number, PI name, and organization.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought that was later. Okay.
Yeah. So we have a motion to recommend the top 8 applications in score order. Application number 3 from the ICANN School of Medicine at Mount Sinai from Dr. Sly. Application number 46 from the ICANN School of Medicine at Mount Sinai, Dr. Irie. Application number 45 from the ICANN School of Medicine at Mount Sinai from Dr. Silva. Application number 27 from the ICANN School of Medicine at Mount Sinai from Dr. Brown. Application number 25 from the trustees of Columbia University in the city of New York, Dr. Stockwell. Application number 48 from Sloan Kettering Institute for Cancer Research from Dr. Chan. Application number 39 from the New York University School of Medicine, Dr. David. And application 37 from the Research Foundation for SUNY Stony Brook from Dr. Galeb.
Okay.
So
we have a motion to approve these up to available funding. So let's have a roll call vote. Ms. Mayor?
Yes.
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 Okay. And I also affirm, and so I think since this is a unanimous vote, everyone on the board is in record of approving that motion. And so the top 8 based on score have been approved pending, approved based on available funding.
Right.
Okay, so in the event that any of these applications may decline funding. May I have a motion to approve but not fund other meritorious applications in order of peer review ranking in case a funded organization should decline an award? We discussed this in executive session and found that there were two such applications, and Andrea will describe those.
Okay. This is application 42 from the Research Foundation for SUNY Stony Brook, from Dr. Thompson Carino, and also application 49 from the Research Foundation for SUNY at Stony Brook from Dr. Lynn.
Okay, there are no recusals for this, for these applications. Can I have a motion to approve these for funding, approve but not funding, but not funding these?
I move.
We have those. So then let's have a roll call vote on this motion. We can start with you, Dr. Ms. Mayer.
Yes.
Ms. Cannon? Yes. Dr. Spire, okay. Ms. Cannon?
Yes.
Ms. Dippo?
Yes.
Ms. Hicks?
Yes.
Mr. DeStasio? That's a yes. Dr. Lake?
Yes.
Okay, Dr. Lee?
Yes.
Okay, and I will vote yes as well, Dr. Conklin. And so that motion carries 9-0. Those two applications are approved, but not funded, potentially being funded should the funding become available. Okay, so in this case, then we've recommended that a single Pat Brown application is not funded, and the board has approved funding for 8 Peter Rowley application grants awards, and has approved and yet not approved the funding for 2 additional Rowley awards. So thank you very much. Operating during these interesting times to provide these votes on these matters. Andrea, can you summarize for us what the next step is, today's meeting?
Sure. The board's recommendations for award and non-award will be forwarded to the Commissioner of Health for approval. With his approval, letters of award or regret will be sent to all applicants with their critique and score. From there, we will work with the awardees to finalize work plans, budgets, et cetera, to get the contracts executed. These contracts are scheduled to begin on January 1st, 2021.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. So I think the next thing we want to discuss is the issuing of future RFAs and the, I think that there was some discussion in executive session by the board, which was centered on the need to encourage additional applications for both the Pat Brown and the healthcare practitioner awards. We would like to get more applications for this. And so their Department of Health will help to the extent that it can. One of the things is we want to be very clear that most of this is already specified in the RFA, and it's incumbent upon organizations that are submitting to these RFAs for these mechanisms, through these mechanisms, that they consider very carefully the type of organization that they are or that they need to be to actually get this award. And in some instances, that may take a little bit of work, but we would love to see more applications. We're also keenly aware that the sorts of reviews that you get sometimes have a lot of useful information in them. And so if you've submitted one of these applications to these RFAs in the past, that the information that's used in the summary statement that you receive is very useful to then go and resubmit. For the bench scientists that submit grants all the time, this is just a normal part of life. And so use the information in the summary statements to resubmit your applications. We would very much like to see these applications in the future. Additionally, you should know that there's plenty of help available through the Department of Health staff. Clearly there are requirements and limitations to the sort of information that can be given out, but we really want to get the applications submitted. And then another thing that the Department of Health will be doing is using rosters, both statewide and countrywide, countywide listings, rather, to make sure that various community-based organizations are being contacted through the e-alert system at the Department of Health. And so in this way, if you're at one of these organizations that should be, that would be impacted by this funding, that the Department of Health is going to try very hard to find you to make sure that you understand that the RFAs are there and that that the funding is a possibility. Did I miss anything in summarizing what seemed like 45 minutes of discussion in that? Any comments by anyone that you'd like to add? Okay. So I think we also discussed then the issuing of the both Pat Brown and healthcare practitioner as described previously in meetings from, for example, a year ago. And so what we'd like to do is then approve the and vote on the recurring healthcare practitioner award, this RFA. This is round four, with an anticipated $540,000 available for the release in 2020. Okay, so this is, we're approving the healthcare practitioner RFA, $540,000 available in 2020. Someone like to move that?
I move.
Ms. Mayer?
Second.
Ms. Cannon? Comments, questions, discussion on this point? Okay. Hopefully I summarized a little bit in the preamble to this that we've had a fair amount of discussion about it and are going to try to do what can be done to increase the number of applications to this award. And especially to increase the number of successful applications to this RFA. So with that, we should have a roll call vote on this motion to approve the healthcare practitioner round four RFA with $540,000 available in 2020. Ms. Mayer?
Yes.
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 Sorry.
Yes.
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 Aye.
I'll vote yes as well, and so I think that makes it unanimous 9-0. Okay. So that's approved. And then we'll consider future Pat Brown funding. And the idea is that for next year, the Pat Brown Round 8 RFA would be issued with a potential $270,000 for release in 2020. So this is typically in the neighborhood of one award. We discussed this in executive session. And I have a motion to approve this issuance of this RFA, Pat Brown, $270,000, 2020. Ms. Dippo, seconded by?
Second.
Ms. Hicks, any comments, questions on this? Okay, let's have a roll call vote. Ms. Mayer?
Yes.
Ms. Cannon?
Yes.
Ms. Dippo?
Yes.
Ms. Hicks?
Aye.
Mr. DeStasio?
Yes.
Dr. Lake?
Yes.
Dr. Spire?
Yes.
Dr. Lee?
Yes.
Doug Conklin? Aye. So that again carries 9-0. Motion is approved. Okay, so now I think we can have an update on the program. So this is in Exhibit 4, Tab 14, and Janine Tusch will provide an update on the current, no?
Not yet. We need to, not yet. Can we do the rally RFA motion?
Oh, did I not do that?
No.
Brown.
I have a hard time counting to three. I can usually get to two without problems, but it's tricky number three. Okay, so then we'll discuss the RFA for the Peter Rowley Breast Cancer Research. This would be round seven of this particular mechanism. For 2020, this would be a $2.16 million, sufficient for six awards, based on other monies that we're committing to other RFAs. So again, this was discussed in executive session. Can I get a motion to approve the next Rowley Round 7 RFA with $2.16 million enough for six awards?
I move.
Ms. Dippo, seconded?
I'll second it.
Okay, any discussion on this? Okay, let's have a roll call vote. Ms. Mayer?
Yes.
Ms. Cannon?
Yes.
Ms. Dippo?
Yes.
Ms. Hicks?
Yes.
Mr. D'Estasio?
Yes.
Dr. Lake?
Yes.
Dr. Spire?
Yes.
Dr. Lee?
Yes.
Doug Conklin, also yes. So the motion to approve funding at $2.16 million, sufficient for six awards in 2020 for the Peter Rowley, has been carried and is approved. Okay, so now we'll have a program update from Janine.
Okay, so this is in Exhibit 4, which is Tab 14 in your meeting materials. So I'm going to start in the green, not in the green, at the top. It's the completed contract. So since the board last met, it's Rowley, Peter Rowley, round three, which is the last highlighted line that was released in 2015. So since the board last met, 8 of the 10 Rowley Round 3 contracts that had received no cost extensions submitted their final progress reports. And to date, their research has collectively contributed to 10 publications, 2 manuscripts, and 1 research paper, all which acknowledge HRSB support. The progress from these completed contracts will be included in the board 2019-2020 biennial report. And then moving to the green section, so our current contracts, we have a total of 17 current contracts, and this includes the first green line is the 2 brown round 5 contracts. They began on January 1st, 2019, and they're in their third reporting period. These 3-year contracts totaled $513,000. And then there's 7 Rowley round 4 contracts in the next line down that began on January 1st, 2019. They're also in the third reporting period. They are 2-year contracts that totaled $2.46 million. And the next line down, there's the 5 Rowley round 5 contracts. They began on November 1st, 2019. They are in their first reporting period, and these 2-year contracts totaled $1.76 million. And then lastly, we have the 1 Pat Brown round 6, and then the 2 healthcare practitioner round 2 contracts that began on October 1st, 2019. They're in their first reporting period, and these 3-year contracts totaled $800,000. And our program will continue to carefully monitor the expenditures and scientific progress for all current contracts. And they will also be featured in the board's 2019-2020 biennial report. Are there any questions at all?
Sounds like a lot of information. Sounds like it's successful so far, so that's good. Thank you, Janine. Do you have any updates on the board membership?
Yes. I know we talked about this in executive session, but just wanted to state that we do have two candidates that are in the vetting process to fill vacant scientist seats for the governor's seat. And then there are four other vacant scientist seats and two regional breast cancer survivor advocate seats. And these seats are to be filled by legislative leadership. The two regional seat vacancies are in the Hudson Valley and Western New York regions. So as you all know, it's important that we have our current members attend all meetings, and we'd really appreciate your flexibility and your commitment to the program, especially during this time. And so our next board meeting, I know we were talking in executive session. If you wanted to meet earlier, we can, but at this time we were thinking scheduling something for spring 2020 to vote on like the next round of the RFAs that you're going to be releasing, like the next peer review results that we'll have for you. But if you want to meet earlier than that, you know, we definitely can do that if you want to.
You mean 2021? I think you said 2020.
Yes. Oh, sorry, spring 2021. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So if you want to. I don't want to speak for everyone, but with the state of the planet right now, it's difficult to understand what's going to be possible in spring 2021. So whatever we decide to do with next meetings, I think we'll have to keep play by ear a little bit just to see what's possible. But we are discussing this, so that's good. Okay, any comments on that? The board memberships. It's a perennial issue, but in some ways it's moving forward.
I would just like to comment that we're appreciative of the governor's office for putting forth these nominations, and I personally would urge the legislative leadership to help to fill these positions. It's important that we have a quorum at all times. Having additional members makes that possible.
Thank you, Dr. Spire. Okay, so let's move then quickly to the public hearing aspect of this meeting. And according to the law, quote, at least one meeting a year shall be a public hearing at which the general public may question and present information and comments to the board with respect to the operation of the Health Research Science Board, the Breast Cancer Research and Education Fund, and pesticide reporting established pursuant to sections 33.1205 and 33-1207 of the Environmental Conservation Law. I have that memorized. We will hear a report to the Board of the Efficiency and Utility of Pesticide Reporting, New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. Mr. Richard Dickinson is here from the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. And I will leave it up to you then, Richard.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Basically, right now, our staff is working on processing the 2019 annual reports that are being submitted. Due to the COVID-19 emergency, staff are working from home for the most part. So that is adding some additional challenges to our processing of the reports as they come in. For the 2018 annual report data, we can report that we received over 9,200,000 records, which is a slight increase over 2017 reports. And the percentage reported electronically has risen to 92%, which is also a slight rise, and continues the trend to more electronic reporting. This is in part due to the DEC staff encouraging people to report electronically, which has benefits for us because we don't have to package up the paper, send it off to be key punched in, and we don't have to deal with handwriting and legibility issues. For the 2018 reporting year, 840 applicators did end up getting a notice of violation for failure to report. That's about 5% of the 16,800 or so applicators who were required to report ended up getting a notice of violation. And 10 commercial permittees, which are the people who are permitted by the state to sell restricted use pesticides, also received a notice of violation for failure to report. That's about 3.5% of the 287 commercial permittees in the state. Both of those numbers are a slight decrease from previous years. So hopefully people are trending to making their reports on time. We have seen a decrease in number of reports that are rejected on the initial screening. This indicates an overall improvement in the reports that we're receiving. And I think that's a reflection of the outreach efforts that we've been working on to improve the overall quality of these reports as they come in. The staff at Cornell continue to work to make upgrades to the database, mostly due to data security concerns. This was one of the recommendations that came out of the comptroller's audit of our program a couple years ago. And the DEC also continues to work to move the database in-house into under our control. But that project is still not, there's not been a contract finalized for that as of yet. And that's pretty much my report.
Thank you, Rich. Questions or comments about this report, anyone?
I do have a question about the sweeping changes that the governor proposed for 2014-15 that were not enacted, and how you're feeling. I don't remember, I certainly on the board at the time, and I know what work that we made a lot of recommendations, but I was just wondering if any of those have been carried over in different form, and if that is helping to improve, or are there other things that we should be looking at that were that have been ignored, haven't been looked at, and should be looking at again?
The changes were not enacted at all, basically. The main change was that we had proposed that that the applicators would not have to report each individual application. They would report a summary report of the pesticides they'd used. And the same for the sales, the commercial permittees would not have to report each individual sale, but would rather report a aggregated report. Neither of those were implemented. I'm not sure if that totally answered your question or.
Well, it does in part, because it sounds to me like they were changes that that didn't help the accuracy of the reporting. So I couldn't tell from the way it was stated in this whether that was a good thing or a bad thing that they weren't enacted. And so I think it's sounding to me like it was a good thing that they weren't enacted.
I'm not a real good judge of that. I think the idea was that so much time and effort is being spent on this, and the data isn't being used as it was originally envisioned. And so the thought was that an aggregated report would eliminate some of the mistakes or errors that people make when they're trying to report each individual application or each individual sale. But I'm not in a position to judge whether they were good changes or bad changes, I guess.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Always a lot of discussion. I mean, it's a program that does a lot. So
they do a lot of great work, and I know it's always been an issue as to whether it's worth it for the amount the information is used, and that sort of remains there as always a big question. But it looks like there is some use being made of it that's valuable. And it also looks like you're improving the accuracy of the information and getting better responses. So all of that, I think, is a good thing.
Right. And there are a lot of interests involved, so it's difficult to come up with maybe the best approach sometime. Thank you very much, Rich. This then concludes the public hearing. And so we're getting to the end of the meeting. The next time we're gonna recommend applications for funding the RFAs that we'll release in 2020 that we voted on. And this meeting will probably be scheduled for 2021. Pending availability and possibilities and state of the planet, as we mentioned, we may try to get together before then. And those things will be, emails will be circulated that will then go into scheduling the meeting so that it's done appropriately. So I'd like to thank everybody for spending a lot of time today, as always, and at lunchtime, as always, to go over all of these applications and vote on their funding, and then discuss the sort of the programmatic goals of the Breast Cancer Research Fund and the Education Fund, and the sorts of things that we struggle with every year. I think it does a lot of good, and I think the time that you guys have committed really helps out. So I think in general, we had a lot of great discussions, again, as usual, and so I thank you for that as well. And I hope we've moved it through about as quickly as possible. Is there anything else anyone would like to mention? Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi, Doug.
Nyla, you've been sitting there the whole time, bearing silent witness to this. And would you like to speak as part of before we adjourn the meeting? So we brought you in just for the public hearing, and then we moved on. So it's all yours. The floor is yours.
Okay, I mean, basically I wanted to talk about or advocate for the Pat S. Brown fund, but it has been approved for the I think round 8. I mean, if you want to, I don't know if you still want me to talk about my interest though, or if it's a moot point at this point.
Well, so I think it has been approved for next year. And based on, and these things sort of are constantly being updated, but based on the sentiments expressed today, it's my reading of it is that for the foreseeable future, it will continue to be issued as an RFA year in, year out. Currently, it alternates between one proposal and two proposals each year. So next year, what we've approved based on the vote that we just took was that there will be sufficient funding for a single proposal to be funded, most likely based on typical budgets, right, for next year. And so it is in place. And if you heard any of the discussion of how we're trying to encourage community-based organizations to apply to these, because it's important, it's part of the law, it's what everybody as New Yorkers feels is important, we would encourage you to do that. And the only thing that I would tell you sort of personally is that grant submission is hard, and there's a lot that's involved in it that may not be sort of what, there's a little bit of an education process that you have to get up to speed on dealing with this. I think for some of the mechanisms, people have a lot of experience because they've done it for decades. And so, so try to get as much information as you can. So is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
That's fine. I had something prepared, but because you've approved it, I don't think it's probably worth going through it. So that's fine.
I would like to know a little bit about your organization, though, while we have it there. How are you? I understand it is a 501c3. What's the structure of the organization? What do you have staff? Do you have administrative staff or? How are you?
Yep. So I'm the director of charity for the organization, and I recently joined towards the end of last year. So we've got staff. We've got a president, a treasurer, secretary, assistant secretary. So it's a very formal structured organization. Most of the work that we've done so far has centered around maternal health in the minority communities, especially around the Bronx and also in Ghana. I have a lot of experience in the breast cancer area. So I was actually brought on just so that we can improve the education and the breast health in minority communities as well.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Sounds fantastic.
And what's the name? What is the name of the organization?
Kwaduam Associates.
Would you say it again?
It's Kwaduam Associates.
Okay. Thank you, Nyla, very much.
Thank you.
So I think we've covered everything we need to cover. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I would entertain motions to adjourn the meeting. Enthusiastically, I would entertain.
May I first thank Andrea and Janine and Terry and all the rest of the staff for making this possible. It ran very smoothly, and now I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second?
Second.
I would just add wishes for good health for each of you and all of yours.
So, agree.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you, everyone.
Any other discussion?
Stay safe.
Okay.
Okay. I move to close the meeting.
Yeah, we've done it. So let's have a roll call vote just to make it official. Ms. Mayor? She's saying aye. Ms. Cannon?
Yes, aye.
Ms. Dippo, you moved? Yes. Ms. Hicks?
Yes.
Mr. D'Estasio?
Yes.
Dr. Lake?
Yes.
Dr. Spire?
Yes.
Dr. Lee?
Yes.
Thank you all. I vote yes as well, and we're adjourned.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Stay safe, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.